So what do you think of Great Expectations?
No, not my favorite Dickens work. What?
It will be disgusting to some, titillating to others.
Forgot about this.
But whether it disgusts you or titillates you, it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Monday morning, March 31st. What's going on? Pot of Thunder coming to you live via iTunes, iPod, Libsyn, whatever that other thing is. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, you know, it's me, your buddy Andy, and I'm here with Chris and Nick as always. Hey, guys.
That's our Andy.
Some doubt after that bash you threw for your birthday the other night.
Oh, yeah. That place was hopping, right?
Yeah, man.
Wild night. Every butthole in a 30-mile radius was there.
What, like eight buttholes?
It was like eight buttholes there.
Finger popping each other.
Hey, you got to have a party. I don't know. Isn't that from a Kiss song? Shout it out loud.
You know that one.
So how does it feel to be a year old? Or are you wearing down a little bit? Or
Yeah, I'd say so. Pretty rapidly at this point. Whittling away. You can assume why, but
I don't know. No, I'm just curious.
You can assume why.
You got to feel alive, like you're a live wire.
Mm. Yeah, that's Nick brought you
every year.
Nick brought you a present tonight.
He did. Yeah, you know, I'm going to get to our merchandise right now. We won't do the song just yet.
Okay.
Our merchandise is I won't give a backstory. It's if you're going to go to your first ever Kiss concert, the guy to go to, to go with to this Kiss concert, the only guy that you need is our guest tonight, Mr. Tom Kodal.
Tom Kodal.
He is our piece of merchandise.
Hey, Tom.
First Kiss concert buddy, they call him.
Wow, I am a piece of merchandise.
Yeah, so, that's not hands off the merchandise over there, Nick.
Watch those hands.
Yeah, so Tom is Nick's friend from forever, and you drove to that, didn't you? That Kiss concert?
I think you drove. I did.
Who else went?
Me and Nick, I think.
Was it just the three of us? I thought someone else was there.
I want to say it was just the three of us. First 1998 Psycho Circus 3D tour. Yeah.
I know a lot of our more experienced listeners out there are like, man, that's when these guys saw their first concert, but hey.
Hey,
we were teens at the time.
I was like nine, I think.
That was your first concert ever or first Kiss concert?
First Kiss concert.
First Kiss concert.
Well, my first Kiss concert was until 2000, farewell tour, which was 14 years ago.
That was a tough farewell, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they had Skid Row, sans Sebastian Bach opening up, but Kiss was great that night.
Didn't they have them when we went, too?
Yeah, Nuge.
They just couldn't get rid of them? That was like a multi-year tour?
Yeah, and we saw Nuge a couple times with them.
Yeah.
Oh, with Tommy Aldrich. Oh.
That must have been good.
No, Trio? The Psycho Circus wasn't them.
It was oh, man, we're going to get people yelling at us for this.
It was some not a well-known band.
I think you're right. They just had some, maybe not a local band, but just a smaller
an up-and-coming band. It wasn't Tom, like Skid Row and Nuge.
I do not remember.
I remember not liking it. But
the farewell tour was Nuge.
If I still have the ticket stub, I will have to look at
it. It probably doesn't say it.
It probably doesn't.
Andy's doing some work.
Yeah,
here.
Psycho Circus tour. Let's see if we could find it. But anyway, that's who we got in the house today. Tom Kodal's our piece of merchandise, and
he fucking smells great.
It's unbelievable.
Right? Jesus,
and you got
we need to keep him
been,
around.
I haven't been this overwhelmed by a fragrance since the last time I saw Phil Goodrich down at the South Shore train station, Randolph Street. I think everybody in a two-block radius that place was, having amorous thoughts in their loins.
Another local legend.
English leather cologne just doused in it.
You guys are in a lucky spot because the vent is blowing in your direction, blowing north, so you're getting a bouquet of me and Tom hitting the couch.
Well, thank goodness Tom is here to mask whatever you've got going on.
Hey, I showered right before you picked me up.
I showered just for you, Chris. I knew you'd want me to smell
whatever
good.
You did, it's working.
He is bewitched over here.
My wandering hands are moving in Nick's direction. Nick, you should get out of the way so I can get it, Tom.
Oh, boy.
Luckily, Tom didn't wear basketball pants today.
But Nick, he did wear his, I'm noticing a Def Leppard hoodie he has on. Sort of, yes. This sort of in commemoration of the upcoming tour.
I figured I'd wear it, you know, just because of that reason.
So, okay, so Tom's here. He's a huge Def Leppard fan. We got, obviously, the Kiss Def Leppard tour going on this summer. Are we going to get...
Don't forget Night Ranger on the bill.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is it confirmed?
It is confirmed.
Yeah, because I had no idea.
I don't know if they're... Maybe it's not confirmed they're playing every show, but they're definitely on a good portion
of the
tour.
Brad Gillis still with Night Ranger?
Brad Gillis is with them.
Oh, I'm going to have to take my Speak of the Devil album and see if he'll sign it.
That's what we need, 30 more minutes.
Yeah, you'll get the same reaction you got from Bob Kulick when you threw your We Are Motorhead copy.
Just look at it and be like, who is this bozo bringing me this?
Exasperated sigh. It's like, why is he giving me this crap?
So, Tom, your opinion. Yes. Are we getting any deep cuts from either of the headlining bands?
Well, I don't know from the Kiss side, but it's already been confirmed from Joe that there will be no deep cuts. It's a co-headlining tour. Now if Night Ranger is going to take up 30 minutes of the time, what are you going to get?
I mean, how long is Sister Christian? What's that, about a 10-minute song?
Yeah, so they can get three more.
Do that little banter.
Chris, are you going to go and throw fireworks at someone?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's a good call with the Boogie Nights drug deal scene.
Love that. I just slammed on the brakes by piping up. Back to you guys.
I was just going to say, Chris has been known to do a Vince Coleman every once in a while.
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's stealing bases?
Throwing fireworks out of cars at people?
Oh, I thought you meant cocaine.
Oh, well.
All of the above.
just screams Chris.
He does have some residue on that mustache.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. That's not salt and pepper facial hair growing in.
Yeah, exactly. It's all that Tim Raines talk a few episodes ago.
Yep.
What number episode is this?
That's a good question.
48 or something?
I would say it's probably 48.
We're closing in on the big 5-0.
We are indeed.
More importantly, we're closing in on 5-2, which is, more important to me. It's a milestone, one full year.
Well, now 5-3 would be.
Oh, pardon me.
Well, and on the calendar, it's a little longer because we took a few weeks off so this dipped shit could get married.
It was only 1 week, I think, right?
Two.
Was it two?
I think it was two.
Oh, wow.
He was swishing around the French Riviera at the expense of our listeners.
Tiny, tiny little shorts, probably.
Oh, so tiny. Tiniest shorts
there.
You have
to wear tiny shorts there, I'm sure.
I bought the smallest swim trunks I could find with a belt on built into them. Wanted to fit in over there.
Wow.
Just tender, emotional lovemaking, deep gazing into each other's eyes. Slow motion thrusting. happy to be married at that point.
That's why we took a cruise. You don't even have to move.
Well, exactly. Andy made all the right moves on that decision.
At least you didn't go to Canada in dead of winter.
All right.
Uh-oh, shot was...
I had a great time.
Shot's been fired.
I had a great time. The wife had a great time. Can't complain.
Slow pull.
Oh, boy.
Extra loud.
It's going to be a long show. All right, so
speaking of deep cuts, Tom, you got any preferences on what you'd like to hear from Kiss on this episode? We could use a good luck charm here to get us a killer cut.
It's been
so
shaky lately.
Well... You broke the streak of the Elder. That was good.
That was big. Because I thought
that was
the
huge.
Listeners were going to walk away.
Either we were going to stop doing the show or the listeners were going to stop listening.
It was just too controversial.
It was
too polarizing.
It made everybody, we saw the worst of ourselves and everybody else around
That's
us.
True.
Well, if I had to pick one song that I'm hoping for, it is Heaven's on Fire.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Hey, why not?
That's a good call. Now, you new listeners might be wondering, what the hell are they talking about? Because you can see the title of the song as the title of this podcast episode.
Good point.
But we don't know until we pull it from the hat or a random piece of Kiss merchandise that week. So you know, we don't know. We're going to find out what it is this week's song.
Everybody can kind of imagine.
Happens to be.
Everybody
keep talking.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Sorry.
I'm just being a dick. Go ahead.
Everybody can. Oh, we have to call Dr. Nick in here and tell you to straighten out again.
All men.
Everybody can just kind of imagine that Tom here looks like the autopilot in Airplane, and he's the concert buddy that goes with you. So just kind of picture that. I'm not saying he really looks like that, but that's what I want everyone to imagine. That's the piece of merchandise today. So
we're gonna have to post one of these old pictures from '89.
We might have to.
So people could get a look.
Tom brought old photos from our grade school talent show where we lip synced rock and roll all night.
How about that? So can you pass them around?
Yeah, I think they're around here somewhere. But oh, here we go. So I guess let's let the piece of merchandise determine the song here.
Is that guitar made out of cardboard or is that a real guitar?
That's a real plastic guitar.
The top. What about Tom's? Same. I don't know what you guys are doing, but these guys all have jean jackets on.
We didn't really look like Kiss.
Pretty badass though. Three kids in jean jackets.
Where is this Sandusky character pictured in those photos?
You can see. If you flip through these photos like a flip book, you can see rhythmic slapping taking place behind the drum.
I'll bet. Explains.
We weren't very great.
Explains a lot about these
pretty,
two.
Pretty boring act.
All right,
so nothing's changed over the years.
30 years later? No, not 30. 21 years later.
It's 20, been a while.
Shit, how many? 25 years later. I had to do the math. Holy moly!
Math is not our best suit. I'm here.
I had enough math for the week.
So do we? Tom is the piece of merchandise.
He is.
So you're gonna pull this out of the pocket of his Def Leppard hoodie, the kangaroo pocket.
There it is. Hey, you want to reach over?
Not me.
He wants to. Yeah.
Do it with your
I've
teeth.
Got to restrain myself.
You have to do it with your teeth like at a wedding.
Oh, jeez.
Put your head under his hoodie. Pull something out with your teeth.
Scandalous.
All right. What are you guys doing over there?
Let's do it, man.
You ready?
Yeah.
This one comes off.
Dress to Kill.
It's called
Love Her All I Can.
Okay.
Baby.
Old Tommy comes in here and
he's our good luck charm.
Shaking it up. I like
some good stuff.
Who wants to go first?
Let's see. 1975, Dress to Kill.
Yeah.
This was the album where I believe they were the well was sort of running dry on stuff they'd written prior to kind of forming Kiss. You know, they had their material laying around.
And you had to pump those albums
and you had
out
to pump,
quick.
Yeah, they did, you know, what? This is the third album in a little
year
over
a half.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So,
and the previous album tanked.
Reached legendary status amongst
Kiss
fans.
It's a great album,
but
it just commercially was a flop.
And we've had, we had Room Service off of this album we had listened to before.
Hell yeah.
I think that's all we've had so far. So
yeah.
And that one got, I'm pretty certain that one got three hallelujahs, no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this one, we'll see if, we'll see if there's some consistency to the quality of the material on the album. But this one, this song, and I believe maybe one or two others on the album were songs that were kind of left over from old Paul Stanley / Gene Simmons, you know, material that they had laying around. And I think a lot of the stuff they had to kind of just hastily throw it together. A lot of it turned out great.
Like She,
yeah,
I think,
but,
was...
But this, She was an old one, yeah, that was, yeah, an old Gene song. And this one was a Wicked Lester song.
Right.
Which we may possibly get into after we check out the actual track.
Right. Let's do it.
But yeah.
I'll say this much. If I had to pick my all-time favorite Kiss song, this would be in the top three that I would consider.
Wow,
I would say so.
I've never heard that before.
I cannot argue with you on that one.
Jeez.
Yeah, this is a big one for me.
Well, I have a confession to make. I'm almost completely unfamiliar with this tune.
Oh, wow, man. Tom, what are you?
Not alone. I am blanking right now, but who knows? Might start up and it might stir some old memories.
Well, so me and Andy have no qualms about saying we're absolutely in love with this tune.
Yeah, huge one.
You love it all you can, basically.
I possibly can.
I know, that's a lot for Andy. He's got a lot of
so
love.
So this is what,
I
right?
Do.
So this is behind
I'm a lusty
Great
man.
Expectations and
Read My Body.
Yeah. And Read My Body.
Read My Body. Yeah,
yeah. Say, yeah those
that's the three. Top three.
Yeah. That's it. So do you want to just get into it? What?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's do
let's
it.
Let's do it. Let's, because we got stuff to talk about afterwards.
We got to get this show moving.
We got to.
Here we go. Love her all I can.
So
Nick's air drumming already.
I am air drumming. This is, I mean, this, there's so much energy in this recording right now.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, it, this riff, it's, I believe this is a Gene riff, if I'm not mistaken. And
is it?
I think if we reference the book, which we might do later, he talks about how when he used to write riffs like this, which he still sort of does, but not quite like this one.
Yeah.
That he said he used to think in terms of like a Motown kind of a song with the horn kind of part. So this was like,
oh,
in his
boy.
Head, this was horns doing this riff.
That thing that musicians say.
Yeah. Like, but it, either way, man, it's, I mean, it's, anybody else have an opinion on the,
it
on
works.
What we're hearing so far?
Well, you got to love the cowbell, of course. Everybody loves that. Peter was a big fan of it. He was speaking of how much he loved playing the cowbell on Nothing to Lose when he was on. Did you guys see that? He trunk that metal show last
week.
I
saw half of
it. On it. Yeah, he was talking about that. So Peter, a big fan of the cowbell.
Well,
and
he used it on, I don't know. Was there an album that Peter didn't use it on? Except for Psycho Circus, of course, because he wasn't really the guy on that.
Played but, one song.
But, I mean, first three albums, he definitely used it. I don't know. The second set of albums, the Alive 2 albums, was, I
is
don't...
Is there any on Destroyer? I can't think of any.
Oh, that's a good question. We'll have to pose that one to our listeners, I think, because definitely first three albums, he was using it. I don't know.
Tom, your initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I did dig the bass line. Bass line was rocking.
Yeah, it is. People underestimate Gene. This is one that's pretty difficult. I mean, it's not like a bass solo from some Jaco Pastorius.
Yeah,
but you know
what I
mean?
What?
Like, people are like, Gene sucks.
That
no, he doesn't.
All that Jaco talk, that's such overrated.
Well, it's not overrated. It's an entirely different type of bass.
Well,
playing.
It is.
Right.
The thing that, the and I've mentioned this on a previous episode, and I go to this ridiculous guitar nerd
just to get angry or
called.
What
I do I go there the people on there are such close-minded jagoffs.
This is like how when I go to look at wrestling rumors and read the comments I just get angry
exactly
at it.
It's the
same just to get
same.
Pissed
just,
off
or if you look at any YouTube video and read the comments
yeah.
you're
well,
just
that,
gonna get angry
unless it's about Lisa Marie Presley.
That'll just kill your faith in humanity.
we really don't want to hear what each other have to say about things.
All right,
it's
agreed.
Yeah.
Why are people listening to us then?
Well, this is
who
says anyone's listening. Anyway,
Tom's listening probably.
There's been a lot
episode.
Of Kiss talk on there, as you might imagine, with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame coming up. It never fails to get the masses dander up when you compare Gene Simmons bass lines to Paul McCartney bass lines. And it is not off base comparison whatsoever. They're both very similar. They're. I don't want to. I'm going to say they're busy, but I don't mean that in a bad way. They're moving. There's something going on. They're interesting, and I think the comparison's valid. But every time somebody brings that up, all the fucking Beatles elitists just blow their top over it. It's ridiculous.
Do people other than you bring it up?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a stretch. I just wonder, like that.
No, a lot
that
of
just comes up
that
once
way.
In a while, yeah.
Because it makes sense.
It does. I just
Gene
didn't
was
know
a Beatles fan. You know.
Of course. I just didn't know if you did it to piss people off.
Well, I do that, well, but I'm not the only one.
If you listen to the song Rain by the Beatles, there's a lot of stuff where you hear it and you're like, Gene Simmons would do that.
I thought you were going to say Rain by Kiss from
no,
Carnival
no,
of
no,
Souls.
No, we'll get to that one, I
well,
guess.
Well, the other thing somebody brought up is that the bass line from Silly Love Songs is similar to the bass line in Strutter, but Strutter came out before Silly Love Songs.
McCartney's a rip-off artist.
Hey. You know,
Hack.
I think if he had
Paul Hackartney,
I yeah. think if he had McCartney in here right now, he would pay his respect to Gene Simmons as a musician. I have no doubt in my mind about it.
If Paul McCartney was in here right now, he would have a probably a heart palpitation being in such a low class house with a low class group of people.
He would.
Twitter's going
to
blow up.
He would probably try to market Tom's scent.
I could see that.
Yeah, and we don't want to be responsible for.
Well, then we don't want Gene in here trying to get his hands on my scent because he'll just take it.
That's true.
Well, he's not coming here. He's just going to send a cease and desist.
He'll copyright you before you get a chance.
By certified mail. That's what we'll get from him.
So let's keep rocking. I remember the times I was lonely without her. Uh-huh. Fantastic stuff.
Love it.
Absolutely brilliant rock song. I mean, just hitting the chords, kind of letting them kind of slide out, you know, mm-hmm. while the vocal line's going on and the drums are still keeping it going. Just great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the song at all. I can't imagine any sort of criticism on this track. That's how the gang vocal sort of sound, it's just, you know.
Nick loves it.
It's great, yeah.
So do I.
Well, you guys really praised it at the beginning. I didn't realize that this song was that high up on you guys' list. So.
It's huge.
Dear to their hearts.
Hey, man, whatever works. I can't argue with it. I mean, this is some pretty good straight-ahead rock, which is kind of characteristic of the album as a whole. So,
there you go. Tom, anything?
Good vocals.
Good vocals.
I do
like
the vocals.
Did you like when Paul came in? He really laid on that
that
preacher or whatever southern character almost.
This
all I can. Like he really cranked it up on that.
This
line.
Is sort of the album where he was changing. It's sort of his what's the third Aerosmith album? Where the
Permanent Vacation.
Get Your Wings.
I think it was Honking on Bobo.
It's the one after Get Your Wings. I forget. But
Toys in the Attic?
Was Toys in the Attic directly after that one?
I don't know. I'm not an Aerosmith guy.
Tom, you know, you're an Aerosmith guy, sort of.
Well, I don't know.
Anyway, though.
He's only an Aerosmith guy in the Alicia Silverstone era.
That is,
come here,
that is
baby.
True. But that's when I was introduced to him, so that's when I started. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's my favorite era.
Me and Tom both sort of grew up on the Live Bootleg album.
Yes, great.
Unbelievable album.
It's a good one. A dangerous band that captured.
That was probably, I think that was the third CD I ever bought.
Wow.
And this, it's still alive.
The vocal on this album, the Dress to Kill album, mm-hmm. for Paul, I mean, it's not as drastic a change in sound as Steven Tyler's voice kind of underwent from the first two albums, but it's sort of like that where their voice that they were going to continue to use throughout their career was really starting to be prominent.
Yeah, kind of change. Yeah, that's true. I wasn't paying attention to you for the last
no,
three
you shouldn't,
for the last
I'm just,
3 minutes.
Because I'm just talking.
I just realized what you were talking about. And I'm thinking, wow, yeah, there is a huge difference with Steven Tyler, too, when you go back between
there you
those.
Go.
Yeah, same thing.
You don't have the luxury of tuning Nick out. Our listeners have the luxury of tuning him out. You have to stay on top of what's going on here.
I got a lot going on over here. I got a package of almonds that I finished. I had to throw those out.
Yeah. I could keep talking.
Can't
if
just
you
leave
got,
garbage.
You got more, housework to do.
Yeah,
I could keep talking.
Let's keep rocking.
What if
yeah,
bugs
let's
come?
Rock.
I don't want any bugs to come. I got to throw this stuff out. All right.
She's so easy to please and it doesn't take money. No, no.
Nick I got a lyrical comment there.
Should
yeah,
we call
what was
in
that
the doctor?
It was well. It was she's so easy to please, and it doesn't take money.
Really pushing it,
we okay. can have a good time, and when the skies aren't sunny,
uh-huh.
which is a very like '60s kind of almost hippie kind of thing, which you don't hear from Kiss. But if you guys have heard that that old bootleg that I think it just surfaced from the Daisy Club from like 1973, one of Kiss's first shows.
How does that just surface?
Well, somebody must have had it for years and years and years, and somehow it just came out.
It's just
somebody
weird just, that happens still.
It's amazing on any documentary you see, you're just like, where did this footage come from? Where do these, you know, even photos, it's like, where did this shit come from?
Yeah, all the big bands, they know how to save up what they've got. I'm sure there's a lot of Randy Rhoads stuff that we haven't heard or seen yet. You know, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a song which I had read about but never heard, and there's actually a live version from this Daisy show now on YouTube. It's called Life in the Woods. And it's like, life in the woods would be easy. It's just like...
I posted that shit on our Facebook page about a month ago. It's hilarious.
And it's very uncharacteristic of what Kiss became, but it gives you a glimpse into, like, you know, they were sort of, I guess, trying to find what they were going to be all about.
Right.
They were trying different stuff. They were kind of going with what was popular.
Did they have makeup in that or not yet?
I think they had some makeup
very
on.
Early versions of it.
Right. And they didn't really have costumes. They weren't really sure what to wear. Just wearing weird shit or what?
I think just probably S&M stuff, right? Didn't they go to an S&M store for their costumes?
That's the only place to go
just to. Like Halford?
Yeah.
Oh, and they did, they committed a lot of Andy's cardinal sin of letting the drummer talk to the crowd. And But in this case, obviously, it's very entertaining as Peter is blasted out of his mind.
I think we may have an example of that, actually.
Let's see what I can do here.
Which goes with our Pot of Thunder mantra, don't give your drummer a microphone.
Never a good idea.
Never a good idea. Let's see.
And we do have a mailing list, so if you put your name on, we'll send you a postcard with our fucking faces on it. You should come down to us. Especially you horny bitches who want to do yourselves in with it.
Drop down there, ladies.
That's what happens when you give your drummer a microphone.
Tom, small time Crooks, would you have ever given your drummer a microphone?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
not a good idea.
But I don't know. Maybe one time we did.
I think we stole him and gave him
a
microphone.
you may have put him on the microphone.
Both of those things.
We had the same drummer and the same mistake
using that drummer.
Did he start smashing little guitars too?
He did the most ridiculous dumb stuff.
I know he had the greatest of wardrobes too.
Yeah, good stuff.
He loved the short shorts and all kinds of stuff.
It was
the
best was when he would play standing up. I loved that.
My favorite story of him and his occasional ineptitude behind the kit was
occasional.
When we were
I would
playing.
Say occasional aptitude.
what song are we playing, guys?
We were
that happened every time.
Yeah, every song.
Andy, how's this one start?
Just get me started,
like,
and I'm good.
After we said what the name was,
and this guy, and this guy somehow got a microphone in front of people.
Yeah,
my favorite, just real quick story is we were playing a song. We were about midway through the first verse, and the drums started slowing down, and then they stopped. And I turned around, and our drummer was staring up at the ceiling. And he had forgotten to keep playing drums because he was so drunk.
He just totally blacked
out. He forgot that he was supposed to be playing. Like, he trailed off and was staring at the ceiling.
And Gene and Paul complain about Peter. I mean, they don't know. They don't have the first clue what it's like to play with an addicted drummer.
I think that's why I side with them so much, with Gene and Paul, when I hear this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame talk.
The tide is starting to turn, man. I mean, at least in this room, anyway. I mean, you still have people who just label Gene and Paul as the automatic villains, but you just have to ask yourself, what has pushed them to this point?
Right.
You know? I mean, how much bullshit have they put up with?
You think they're assholes for no reason? No, I don't think
so. Well, they say Gene is, but I don't know if that's true.
But I don't think he would be.
Well, just on the small scale that we've experienced and how infuriating it can be, if you're Kiss and you're the world's biggest band and your guys are messing up like that, then yeah.
Of course you're going to be pissed.
Yeah, you're
going
to say
you do it again. You give them a second chance.
Yeah, you're going to say, "Look, man, like quit getting wasted all the time."
But again, it's like
messing up.
But you know, we're not talking about them putting together another tour. We're talking about a 10-minute set at the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. What does it take to push these guys to the point where they don't even want to do that?
Well, and if you ask Paul, it's not even really that important for him. It's important for the fans.
It's for the fans.
Yeah, so if it's for the... I mean, we talked about this
already. If it's for the fans, then you do it.
There you
right,
go.
Right, but...
Tom Kotal.
But assuming they believe their own mantra about the fans, and I think they do, not even that is enough to get them to play with these guys for 10 minutes. So, again, you simply have to ask yourself, how much bullshit have they put up with from those two to get to this point?
Right.
Well, and should we talk just real quick? Should we use the Ace quote that was just recent?
Sure.
In the Rolling Stone article, which we'll talk about a little bit later, Ace points out, and I think he might be on the ball. Ace says some stuff that's, you know, you say, yeah, I think he's probably right. He said, last time, they don't want us to play there with them, even though it's brief, because last time we did something like that, where we came back and played briefly with them, they had to go and do a reunion tour because the fans went so crazy that we were playing with them again.
Well,
so there you go.
I think that's probably true, but
I don't know. Some truth to
I don't
that.
Know at this point, though. I don't know. A reunion tour, I really don't. I wouldn't want to really see a reunion tour.
But you're you.
I am
the
me.
Casual fan. If they see it, they probably think, what do you mean they're going to go on tour with Def Leppard and not have the original guys? I just saw them on TV playing together. Why aren't they going to come to my town?
It all comes down to business. I mean, it's the fans, but it's business. It's legacy, it's business.
And the
it's
bottom
dollars.
Line is Gene and Paul are in full control of the business. They call all the shots. So there you go.
So there you have
the
it.
The closest thing we've got is to listen to them rocking out together on Love Her All I Can.
Good
so
job,
let's
Chris.
Continue. I love her all I can and try and understand. But things are bigger than the things are bigger than. I'm a lucky guy, I'll live in my pride.
So that's...
That's some potent rock and roll right there.
That was Ace going off, and this is only like half solo. We still got more coming up.
Now the rest
there's
of the...
More.
Yeah, there's man. More. There's
wow.
more.
The drums kick back in, and the bass.
This is Ace at his prime for me. This type of solo.
You love this?
I do. I think it's great.
Well, he dressed up just for you.
Well, Ace was smoking hot on all the first three albums. I mean, I'm dying for a Hotter Than Hell cut because he's got some just killer solos on that album.
Well, maybe we'll bring Tom back and he'll be the good luck charm. Maybe we'll get a Creatures or a Hotter Than Hell.
And even, you know, Rock and Roll Over, another great showcase for Ace. We all know what went on with Destroyer. He was in and out of the studio. You know, the things are starting to come apart. Love Gun back in form, but no, you're telling. I mean, he's definitely in top form on this stuff here. So,
let's finish the solo.
Was that doubling? Or was that? I know there's like some phasing going on there. Was that a doubled guitar solo from Ace Frehley?
I didn't
a Randy
notice.
Rhoads style doubling.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, hard to say. The thing about Ace Frehley is that I think if he doubled it, it would end up sounding like when Tony Iommi doubles it, where it's the same similar solo but slightly different. So you can hear two different solos going on. So I don't know.
I don't think Ace is capable of doubling a solo.
I think
he is.
Yeah?
I don't know, man.
I think he might be too lazy to.
But I also
but
think
he can.
He fires off licks, just shoots from the hip.
That's what
to
I mean.
But then he obviously pulls them off in a live setting. So it's not like he can't sort
but
of.
But do you think they're exactly the same?
They're close. They're always really close, yeah.
No, he's right about that, but I mean, he had decades to have those solos and, you know, world tours for years to keep playing those same leads. I mean, this thing, I don't know. I didn't get that impression that it was doubled, but it could have been.
It just had that sound. Maybe there was just some sort of effect on it. Definitely there was some kind of phasing, I heard.
Oh, for sure, yeah. There's like a thick, weird phasing in there, which is... adds to the charm of it. And, you know, again, I talk about it all the time on this podcast. This is something else I get on that stupid forum is how much Ace Frehley sucks and I can play that and, you know, this and that and all this other horse shit. It's like no one can ever portray this level of personality and they're playing quite right. like this. And that's what it's all about for me.
I think people overlook that a lot.
They look at the tablature and they say, I can play those notes in time.
Right.
That's all that they're saying.
But you probably couldn't write it and you couldn't play it the same way with personality, like Chris said, which is what makes a star a star.
Ace rules.
I mean, especially with YouTube now. I mean, this is like a conversation from 10 years ago. But you know, now that they have YouTube going, you see like how many people who are not famous are fucking awesome at guitar or any instrument. You're like blown away, but it's like, why aren't they famous? Oh, they just don't have it, whatever it is.
Well,
they could just pull their dexterity.
I think
it
comes down to material.
They have that.
I think, well, material, and it definitely comes down to promotion and money and putting, you know, time and work
into it. Nick, is this your excuses for your shortcomings in your music career? That's what I'm interpreting this as.
No, I'm saying that
not enough promotion.
No, I'm saying my material's awful.
Oh,
I'll second that. No, but there are tons of videos on YouTube of these like 8-year-old Asian girls playing Racer X songs.
Oh, guitar! I thought you meant something else.
No, well, that's.
I thought you were talking about wood floor queefing.
Yeah, right.
My favorite search terms.
You got that 6-year-old drummer that plays
that
everything.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, adding queefing to the drumming entourage. No, there's all
like
these
a
like
third foot.
These 8-year-old Asian girls with full size Ibanez guitars playing note for note renditions of Racer X songs.
Yeah, and their hands are like half of your size.
Yeah, it's amazing. But again, it's almost. I don't know how to put it. I mean, it's impressive. It obviously takes some work to get up to that level.
But do you become numb to it because it's so saturated on YouTube?
I think absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, you're looking for there's something that you are looking for that's not being given to you when you see, you know, like just some guy ripping something crazy, you know, and it's like a cover song and whatever. It's like. There's something to songwriting, and then you know, and that's
right.
What
but we're
Kiss
talking about
that.
Guitar solos,
but that's
and,
part
and,
of
and,
it.
And the solos, again, I've said it before, is you know you can kind of hum Ace Frehley solos when you got a guy like Chris Impellitteri who's just rattling off harmonic minor scales, thinking he's Paganini or something. You can't hum that. There's no fucking melody in that.
Who Mark St. John claimed that he was the classical pieces he was playing before
Really?
He joined Kiss was Paganini. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, well, him and Paganini are jamming in the afterlife somewhere, and Paganini is telling him how much he sucks.
Damn.
Fucking jerk.
Bomb.
Anyway,
Chris is getting
I don't know.
Chris is getting angry, I think.
I'm getting worked up a little bit because...
I'm real slow today.
You know, Chris is getting kind of mad. I think we have...
What you lack in speed, you're making up for in volume with that fucking sound clip.
We have some new we have some new music here for when Chris gets upset. And I think we need it now.
This is another one of your surprises.
A little Boys Are Gonna Rock sort of angry
just
music.
When I thought the original couldn't be any worse, along comes Nick Jones's rendition. Sure enough, even worse than the original.
That's just when Chris
gets
angry.
I just
angry.
Get tired of people bagging on Ace Frehley as a guitar player, especially when we're talking about stuff that he cut in his prime. It's such horse shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's similar to what you hear about Jimmy Page, or the recordings. It's like, oh, this is brilliant stuff. And then live, you might see a clip where it's like, oh, okay, well, he's missing notes, sort of, and he's a little sloppy.
You try.
I'm not saying I could, but
I'm not saying, and I wasn't meaning you. I'm saying anybody who criticizes Page, it's like, okay, I'm going to prop you up in front of 20,000 people. Oh, and I'm going to fill you to the eyeballs with heroin and see how fucking how precise you are with your guitar playing, okay?
I will say, from my personal experience, the hand tends to not want to move as much when it's go time.
When it's on heroin?
No, I don't know about that. When it's go time and you're in front of like 20 people, the hand just doesn't move like it does in practice. Hey, so you got to give nerves. you got to give it to these guys who are up there doing it in front of thousands of people.
Right.
Ace yeah, Frehley right. being one of them.
So yeah.
Quickly before we move on, since we were on the subject of the YouTube guitar solo thing, I just remembered a band you guys don't like, but still it's worth bringing up. Steel Panther did a thing when their first album came out where they put up a version of Death to All But Metal without the guitar solo, and they had fans record solos to it, and they picked like the best ones, but it was all on videos.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe like kids and nerds and like, oh, yeah. you know, like businessmen shredding, like some of them better than the dude who's a professional guitar player, you know?
No, it's amazing what people can do on the guitar. And it does take some effort and some dedication to get to that level. But ultimately, you know,
it's more than that.
Personality goes a long way, and nobody in the history of rock had more than Ace. I mean, there's a lot of guys who had about the same like, amount of level, but, you know.
Maybe Keith Moon.
Keith Moon?
It's important to play your instrument well, but you don't play with your mind. You play with your dick.
Yes.
I'm saying is what you're saying about Ace playing guitar, Keith Moon playing drums, there's a lot of parallels there.
Right, and, you know, with all the same YouTube videos of drum wizards doing their thing, but I don't know, it's just something lacking in it. And you know, bringing this back around, Ace rules, and like you said, he's at his absolute peak here, so we should all be thankful for it. We're not gonna hear it at the Barclays Center in a few weeks, so
nope. All right, let's finish up this song. We've got a minute left, so we'll see if anything else piques our interest.
Keep it going.
Remember the times I was lonely without her. Now she's mine and I'll spend my time dreaming about her.
I just noticed that Tom's drinking a Code Red over there.
Code Red.
And Chris has his Diet Dew on that end. There might be some kind of explosion if you guys get too close to each other.
Great, I'm in the middle.
Can you mix those two elements together?
Yeah, well, no. What do you get when you mix neon red and neon green together?
Is that when you get like live wire?
Yellow?
Live wire.
I think that's what live wire is.
So
yeah.
If I may, real quick, we're talking about the guitar still, but the bending that Ace is known for his bends, and he's doing a lot of it from what we're just hearing in the middle of the
verse.
And the thing about Ace's bends, in my opinion, and I'd like to reference somebody that I know from a band that I know Chris is going to roll his eyes at, but it's similar to Dave Hill, the guitar player from Slade, back in his kind of prime. He did a lot of bends, and he did the vibrato where he did it really over the top, where it was almost sort of like cartoonish, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And Ace, the way he does it, he puts some restraint on it, so it's more effective with just the overall sound of a Kiss song.
Okay, do you think Ace was influenced by that?
Could be.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, they were all big Slade guys, so it's possible.
Just like all of us in this room,
just like every one of us that knows what they're talking about.
Slade was great.
All I can try and understand the things that make a plan, the things that make a say.
How about that for an ending?
Oh, yeah, they really killed it. That was a showcase for everybody in the band, that song.
Right. That's something that when we do all these songs, you realize not, you know, there's like a whole chunk where it's that formula that I sometimes complain about. where you get the you know, the verse, chorus, verse,
bridge, ABC,
then the chorus for a minute and a half, and it fades out. This song is very different. That might be one of the reasons it's one of my all-time favorites.
This song, I will say, more than almost any other song in the Kiss catalog, is one similar to what I remember saying about Love 'Em and Leave 'Em, where I knew a lot of the material from this era, but when I heard Love 'Em and Leave 'Em, and then I heard Love Her All I Can, it's two songs where you wonder, why did they abandon it in a live setting?
Yeah, maybe
where
just
the
song,
you just think the songs
reason,
are so great. Why aren't they? Why weren't they like at least on one tour or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Some reason it just didn't work. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
And you know, I'm realizing now after listening to this that it's not like identical, but the main riff of this song was probably a big influence on a riff for a song that I wrote for the band Nick and I had together called The Flying Errands. And I'm going to take a stab in the dark on this MP3 file and see if this is the right spot. But maybe you...
I honestly can't think of what song you're talking about.
All right. Almost. Hold on. Is this it? Hold on.
Okay,
let me pull it back.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Wait a minute.
About.
It's there.
I hear it.
I heard it too.
Yeah,
it's there, right?
It has the same sort of vibe to it. Yeah,
I don't think I was that was a conscious thing, but now listening, it just popped into my head that that's very derivative of "Love Her All I Can."
And there was a little
liminal influence,
cowbell.
A little cowbell in there.
Yeah, we made that. That was probably another thing. It almost sounds like we went to the "Dress to Kill" album and referenced all the things, but I don't think that was part of it.
No,
there's also some
probably
maracas
not at that
in
time.
There too. No. But
so you like the maracas, but no tambourine or harmonica.
No, here's the okay. Well, harmonica is a separate category, but tambourine and maracas are fine on a recording. I just don't like them in a live setting, unless you're like the Miami Sound Machine or something.
Yeah, when you've got like 30 people up on stage, and
then it's okay.
Someone's got to play tambourine.
But for some reason, like a guy with long hair and leather pants playing the tambourine bothers me. I don't know why. And he's just taking a break from singing or whatever. It's like, just sing or stand there or roll around on the ground.
What if he's playing the tambourine while he's singing?
Annoying.
A la Peter Gabriel from
Terrible.
The Genesis
era.
Not
Peter Gabriel.
That's exactly who I'm thinking. First thing that pops in my
Peter,
mind.
The worst.
Peter Gabriel and Slade.
I'm not saying Peter Gabriel's worse. I'm just saying I don't like that either.
What do you think Gabriel's going to play at the Hall of Fame, Nick?
I could almost see him being like...
Supper's ready.
I could almost see him being like, well... They're serving, it's not free-range chicken at the banquet before it, so I'm not going to be performing or making it.
Is he one of those guys?
He's like a Morrissey kind of guy where, it's like, oh, come on.
I can respect that.
I don't know.
Having five backyard birds myself.
I don't know. I'm going to predict he's going to do Salisbury Hill probably.
You know, our friend Mike Haddad used to do a magic trick to that song.
We need to
at
post
parties.
A video.
Yeah, we'll have
at
to get
parties,
together.
Yeah.
What did he make disappear?
I think he made something
appear. A couple of ladies into the room.
He made something appear, then the ladies disappeared.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds right. It's a good trick.
So what do you think?
It's hard to say anything bad about this song.
Who wants to go first?
Hallelujah.
You two guys go first.
Okay,
we
well,
know what you're
it's
gonna
obvious
say.
Double hallelujah for me and Andy.
All right, so turn it over to Tom.
Tom.
TKSP.
I love the structure of the song.
There's a butt coming.
Sounds
like
it. I like the bass. I like the
that
drum
like a
solo
Saturday night
towards
for me.
The end. For a 2.5 minute song, I think there was a little too much guitar soloing going on.
What?
For a 2.5 minute song.
Tom's calling it filler.
Shit.
I'm not calling it filler. Maybe
so
just,
you wanted the song to be less than 2 minutes?
You wanted
one solo or a longer song, maybe?
He wants rock bottom, basically. He wants like a minute and a half.
Maybe we could have done two drum solos. I don't know.
There you go.
Whatever, but I vote Hallelujah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
Well, yeah, make
I agree.
It, make it a four-peat over here. I mean, it's what we talked about. Well, it's my same reaction to Room Service, just a band firing on all cylinders. Tons of energy, tons of attitude, great lyrics. It's got all the ingredients.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for letting the guitars breathe, too, and they did a good job with that in the chorus.
Yeah. So, all around, everybody's happy, and I hope everybody listening feels the same way. If you don't, you're a damn fool.
I would have to say you're probably right.
It would surprise me if anybody came piped up with an opinion to the contrary, but you never know.
I will be shocked. Someone might find something like how Tom said, oh, maybe the too much guitar solo.
That's
whatever.
A valid criticism.
Someone might say something like that, but I cannot imagine someone saying, oh, this song gets a hell for
and
me.
I'm
no
not
way.
Taking, I'm not taking anything away from Ace. The solos were great, just yeah. maybe a little too much.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I can respect that.
Tom's a song guy.
Yeah, I like
he
that.
He wants the song.
I like a short song, too, and I don't like a lot of guitar solos. So I see where Tom's coming from, but...
This
it
is all new
me.
To me. I've never heard this stance from you. You don't like guitar solos.
I said that like five times in episodes. That I don't think that a guitar solo is always necessary. I think people throw them in. It's like obligatory when it doesn't add anything to the song.
It was like a rule.
Yeah.
It was a rule of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
You're definitely right about that.
And sometimes it's just a waste of like 30 seconds
but
where it doesn't add anything. It just,
I will
you wait for it to end or you skip it on your iPod now because that's the technology.
And if you're at a live show, it's like, oh, okay, here comes the guitar solo.
Yeah, here comes this boner. And then the drummer's eating a sandwich in the background.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You only get that.
Was that a meatball?
I think that was a foot long meatball.
I don't know what it was, but he was like just leaning over on his hi-hat, just munching on something. It's like, get the fuck off stage.
He could have
idiot.
Inverted the hi-hat. It'd been like a little plate.
Yeah, that would have been good.
The top symbol of the hi-hat and have a nice little plate there for your sandwich.
Caught all it's the like marinara that fell off. It's like dipped chips in it.
It's like one of those fancy restaurants where they lift the top off of it.
Yeah.
There's your meal.
That's
under
like
there.
Your room service.
You know the food at Reggie's is top flight, too.
Oh,
maybe you got a delivery from the Euros joint next door.
Mm.
Yum.
Who put that picture up on Pot of Thunder?
Pot of Thunder did.
Oh, Pot of Thunder. Dr. Nick did it? Or was that Tito Blackwell that did that?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, whoever did it, that was
what
good.
What picture?
The picture of
oh, that,
Peter,
yeah, that
Peter
was
Chris.
Hilarious. I didn't see the sandwich right away.
I missed it, too. I was like,
that was great.
What's
the
what
big
are they
deal?
Talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to type, I don't get it, and then I noticed, okay. Well done.
We would have been crucified if we posted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially me, one of the regular hosts on here, but good one, Nick. I don't normally give you much credit because you don't deserve any, but for that one, you do. Well done.
Wow. All right. Now that we got... Chris getting
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Now that Chris
actually,
has
it's
vented.
Very believable. I do it all the time.
It's not, sounds like
part of the shtick of this show.
Might need some more Chris Rage music, probably. I don't know.
You know, we can already. Christ,
type it down so you could talk over it.
I'm seeing like an image of Chris with his eyes going from red to purple, like back and forth.
Yeah. Did you notice the guitar?
That signature Nick Jones sound. Yeah, I love it.
Did you notice that little thing he did at the very end? That's kind of a... I don't know what you call that.
That's that was bass
trill or something.
Sounds like a video game.
Yeah.
That was kind of that was from when you watch the video. When you watch the Boys Are Gonna Rock video, Vinnie Vincent's absolutely going nuts on the guitar.
Like and physically that, in
yeah,
the video?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going absolutely. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that something coherent could come from what he was.
He's just abusing the guitar.
Yeah. I mean, but and so that was that last part was inspired by his mania in that
strange
video.
Strange individual, you and Vinny.
Both of them. So Tom brought something up on the way over to the studio today. Funny thing happened on the way to the studio today. Tom was talking about the Rolling Stone issue that has Kiss on the cover. The first time in, what, 40 years, 41 years since Kiss has been around?
Long time.
The first time Kiss has been on the cover of Rolling Stone. I'm sure by now everybody's heard this and it's old news, but
yeah.
Holy mackerel.
When
huh?
we're recording this episode live Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
We just heard about it.
Time and space kind of bends for this show, so just, you know, just deal with it. As Garfield would say, deal with it.
Big fat hairy
Big
deal.
Big fat hairy deal.
Right, and I'm actually glad you brought that up. Why is it a big fat hairy deal that they're on the cover of Rolling Stone? I mean, they've trumpeted for years how much they hate Rolling Stone. It's a bunch of aging hippies who don't know what's going
That's
on.
That's what I think like, the big deal is.
Yeah, because they've won them over, I guess.
They haven't won them over. They're no fools. They know that people are going to buy up that issue in droves.
But, I mean, it looks like they've conquered. They're on the cover.
But I don't know how this business works. Oh, God. I just kicked something. Does Kiss?
But it wasn't liquid.
No, it was a plug for something else. There it is. Does Kiss have any say whether they're on the cover or not?
No, of course.
You think
not.
It? No. I wonder if it would have been not the current lineup if Kiss had a say. It probably would have been Tommy and Eric on the cover, right? Or no?
Probably.
I don't know. I'm just
guessing. Of course. Right. They used a vintage shot. They're ignoring what they've got going on currently, which is going against everything that Paul and Gene are talking about as their main objection, is that the guys post-original lineup aren't being acknowledged.
And my other question is, if you're like the cover of a magazine and you're the feature article, do you get anything for that financially?
Or no,
just
it's a
promotion,
news magazine.
It's just promotion.
It's promotion.
Then Kiss, I would be kind of mad. I don't know. It's like you treated us like shit for our whole careers, even like kind of currently. Well, they've been interviewing them a lot lately, but Hall of Fame thing, they've been kind of, you know.
It almost seems orchestrated lately between the two camps. That's probably
I'm sure there's some of that going on, but, you know, there's no pay to, I don't know. I hate to sound naive here, but in terms of a music journalism magazine, selling a placement, especially to Kiss, is just, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Right.
I mean, it's an editorial decision. They're trying to move magazines, and they will. The Kiss freaks will buy this shit up, especially since it's got the original vintage photo on
it. And it's a great photo, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. They'll sell out of that issue, you know. They'll sell more copies than the one they were going to put Drake on, I'll tell you that.
Was he the one that was bumped?
He was bumped by Seymour.
Yeah, okay. So something Rolling Stone did that I wanted to go over before we wrapped it up today was they ranked the top 10 Kiss albums. You know, I don't know what opinion. I mean, Rolling Stone. The thing is, I always like crap on Rolling Stone, like, oh, they didn't like Kiss, screw them. But, you know, it's not like it's been the exact same staff over the years. There could be somebody there who's a Kiss fan and who knows what they're talking about. So let's dive in and see what they think.
Let's test it against the experts, a.k.a.
us.
The Pot of Thunder Hall of Famers here.
Yeah.
Well, just run through it really quick. There are two kind of against the grain choices here. Everything else, it's the first six albums, the two live albums, and then two kind of cool choices.
Well, we're done with that segment.
Well, what? why spend more time of it? Gee, is any of this a surprise? There are two somewhat surprising.
Number 10's kind of a surprise.
That's what I'm thank you, Nick. And, jeez. I think point out the obvious.
I think that Chris might be the only one.
The only surprise?
No, there's creatures in there. Oh, that's somewhat surprising.
Not to me. It's a little high on the list for me.
But I mean, it's the first six studio albums and the first two live albums. Gee, you're really throwing us some curveballs with that, Rolling Stone. Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Boy, I think it's cool that Hot in the Shade is number 10 and Creatures is 7. I mean, at least they're given some props to the non-original lineup with those two, but I don't know.
I would flip one and two, I think.
Well, I'll quickly name the order. It's number 10, Hot in the Shade. Number 9, Alive 2. Number 8, Rock and Roll Over. Number 7, Creatures of the Night.
Yes.
Number 6, Dressed to Kill. Number 5, Hot, Hot, Hotter Than Hell. Number 4, Love Gun. Number 3, Destroyer. Number 2, Alive. And number 1, the first self-titled Kiss album.
I would sort of take exception just for my personal taste. I don't think I could say that Love Gun, material-wise, is better than Hotter Than Hell. I would not have it in that order.
Wait,
just
number
me.
What?
Well, how Love Gun is ahead of Hotter Than Hell.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't
right?
do that. You would switch those?
No, yeah, I would have Hotter Than Hell above Love Gun.
And I would put Dressed to Kill way up higher. I don't know. Above Love Gun for sure. Because of Then She Kissed Me, that's enough to bump it down
terrible.
A couple.
And Revenge isn't on there. They're saying yeah. Hot in the Shade is better than Revenge.
That was
saying.
The other thing I was going to mention.
I disagree with that.
You like Hot in the Shade better, Tom?
I like Revenge better than Hot
oh, okay.
in the Shade.
I thought you disagreed.
I
disagree with
I would have list. Revenge in the top 10, and I would also have Dynasty in the top 10. But, of course, they're not going to – if you read, which we don't have – we're not going to get into all of the text here.
Which
but,
we don't know how to do.
But here in the Hotter in the Shade, they take a shot at Revenge. And in the Creatures of the Night, they take a shot at Dynasty for all the obvious reasons. Disco album. There's a lot of great shit.
What do they take a
Dynasty.
Shot at Revenge for?
Saying they were trying too hard to be hard is what they said.
No,
there.
that's Carnival of Souls, in my opinion.
Right.
It's
Revenge
not
is a great album.
Revenge is near perfect.
Dynasty is a great album.
Yeah, I mean.
I would have those two in the top 10. I'd probably lose the fucking live albums. I mean, I know they're iconic, but. Is that really what you want in the top 10?
It's so much material.
It's the same songs.
Yeah, so much material is repeated.
When I'm coming up with a top 10, live albums don't make it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. It just shows you how myopic these aging hippies are. I mean,
Clueless Burnout.
As far as,
that's what Paul Stanley said on Twitter the other day.
And
Clueless
look,
Old Burnout.
Look, this top 6 albums are great, and they deserve to be on there, but, I mean... And obviously you're not going to put Asylum in there or Crazy Nights either.
I'm surprised they didn't put The Elder at number 10. Just because Rolling Stone gave that album a good review.
Mm.
And just to ruffle feathers, like Chris said, yeah.
Right. I would put Revenge in there and Call Me Crazy, but I think I would put Sonic Boom in there too.
Actually, you know what? That just occurred to me. Sonic Boom was somewhat of a triumph in my opinion. They really brought it on.
Sonic Boom could easily be number 10 on this list.
Yeah, that's why not?
Totally right.
If not higher. It's got Say Yeah on it. It's got Dangerous. Well, it's got Modern Day Delilah.
You've got your Read My Body on the top 10.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Albums.
I'll give him that.
I think Hot in the Shade, we talked about it when we had the Hot in the Shade song a couple episodes ago of the non-makeup albums pre-Revenge. It's far and away the best, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, production-wise, material.
It's up there.
Yeah,
you know,
there
was some cohesion going on with that with that lineup. I mean, I don't know. I take my hat off to them for putting Hot in the Shade in. And Creatures is a cool choice, too, but the rest of it, it showed no imagination. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Rise to It. Silver Spoon,
Little Caesar,
Read My Body,
Forever.
There's some good stuff on.
Damn straight,
Hot in the Shade.
Yeah, it's
hell yeah!
And when is Little Caesar gonna get pulled for you guys?
We got a couple years. It could be it could be next week. It could be
you're gonna pull
2015.
You're gonna have to run down the road and load up on Little Caesar.
That's exactly what we're gonna do.
I think that's mandatory now.
That's gonna be a party
when it happens. We have to bring the recorder, the portable recorder, with us. Drive to Little Caesar's and talk about Little Caesar
and try to order a large orange from
and
the
ask
guy.
The lady behind the
either
counter
that
about
or
great
we should just do a separate YouTube video of us going. Going over to Little Caesars.
All right, we'll do
doing it.
So
kind of like the similar to when you and Aaron crashed the Black Barber Shop over here.
That was one
Ransom's
of the greatest ideas we ever had.
Yeah, you're lucky you're still alive.
We just had some questions. All right, well, let's wrap it up for today. Tom, thanks for joining us. It was a real
treat.
Thank
you,
yeah,
Tom.
Thanks to you.
No
we
problem.
Got a gem today.
Thanks for having me.
Might have to see if we can keep this winning streak going and strap him down in the basement with that old man's cane and the, bring him back up for the next episode.
The toilet with no walls around it. Strap him to it. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Steven Seagal, cock.